does that run us into trouble?
Yes, you can certainly do that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem. If it's, you know, if there's mandatory pickup at the park, then that exclusivity deal is obviously off the table. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, constituents in the Highlands have voiced their opinion that, you know, they don't want to do business with a company that is essentially a monopoly, right? So the way I look at it is if we allow them the opportunity, right, the reality is no large company is going to come in and pick up 30 guys of trash, right? It's going to open up the door for maybe, like I said, a one-man show that's, you know, going to provide a little extra service to somebody. But at the end of the day, it's going to be cost. And I think whoever wins the franchise, at least in the Highlands, whoever wins this RFP countywide, you know, I think honestly, from what I've seen over the years in the Highlands, the less people they got to deal with, they're probably going to be happier.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So okay. if you know, if they don't have to pick up all of a sudden 200 homes, I think so much the better. You know, I don't think anybody thinks that the Highlands is a moneymaker. It's probably a mandatory thing they've got to do in order to fulfill their obligation for the county. But, you know, my specific district is very different. And I think, you know, to address those concerns, if we could work that in, I think that would make at least my district a little more comfortable with the decision. So, yes.
I'm not sure. Austin Osborne, for record. I want to make sure I'm hearing this right. So I know the last time we negotiated the agreement for this, even if mandatory was the ultimate desire of the providers so they can get the best economy of scale, the next one would be non-mandatory but still having franchise, meaning they can be the only ones that operate. And I remember they talking about if we're going to come up and provide, you know, the transfer station and go out and put all the cans out and provide the containers and, you know, all the stuff that's involved, they wanted exclusivity that nobody else could come in there. What it was discussed a few years ago was if you have five different providers providing garbage in a community, kind of like whoever, what everybody wants, nobody's going to provide the service because nobody will drive theoretically a truck to whatever community to pick up five cans that might be spread out over, you know, 5-6 miles apart from each other.
Right.
I'd be concerned if there was not exclusivity that might happen and there'd be nobody who would survive, you know, provide service to one of our residential communities, wherever that might be.
Okay. Something to think about.
Let me ask, is it, Jay, Does it seem to be more of an issue when the level of service is substandard due to weather or whatever else, or is it an overall philosophical feeling of I don't want to be forced to have to do business with this particular company?
The weather definitely plays a role, right? When trash service is humming along every week and we don't have to worry about taking stuff to the dumpsters, I think people have other things to focus on. It's been a relatively heavy winter, you know, but I think the sentiment of not wanting to, you know, give dollars to a monopoly has definitely been thrown my direction.
You yeah.
know, it's definitely not the masses. And I've tried to explain the logic, you know, and it's like, you know, trust me, there aren't going to be a bunch of people fighting to go pick up your trash or you're going to pay a premium for it.
Right.
You know, but I have to address those constituents that have brought that to my attention that, you know, even though they're going to go to the transfer station here, I guess they can go to Carson and give money to the Carson outfit.
Which is even more because they're...
Right. But, you know, I think sometimes just having the opportunity or the option
sure.
is enough to subside the mm-hmm. issues, you know, and realistically, you know
what's going to happen. And by the way, I don't really fly an ideological flag in public meetings, but I will in this case. I'm as laissez-faire as anyone. I am a free market advocate. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in this particular case, although it's sometimes characterized as a monopoly, it's far cry from monopoly because there's an intense competitive bidding process that we're going through right here to establish, I mean, there is a major competition that's going to go on to be able to gain your business.
Right.
And so that doesn't happen in a monopoly. In this case, there are competitive forces being brought to bear on this to drive the prices as low as they can and the services as high as they can get. And in this particular case, in solid waste service, it has had that universal effect of reducing price and improving service through going through this process. So, you know, that's for folks that have it set in their mind that, you know, once you've got a contract that you've established through a competitive bidding process, and the only way that they can change their rates is by coming back to you annually and making a case for a rate adjustment. You know, I guess there's some philosophical hurdles you just can't get over, but that's not a monopoly.
Again, I agree with you personally.
Yeah,
But
yeah, I got you. I understand.
There's definitely folks that you're not going to change that mindset.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, and I was going to suggest that if potentially we put into the RFP an exclusion or permissiveness that if they are not able to provide the services as agreed, there's no prohibition against people using private companies to help them get rid of their garbage during those conditions, that it feels like that would alleviate the worst of it, while maybe not addressing the concern totally. I think that's the biggest concern, is if they're not able to live up to the expectation, but people's hands are bound with no other option other than throwing it in the back of their sedan to take it to the roll-offs, you know, that's a pretty rough situation.
Yeah, and one thing that does magnify it is that refunds are not handed out. So it's very difficult to get a refund for trash not picked up this week. And there's definitely an argument there. And so that may add some, you know, some intensity to their feelings. But, you know, I don't want to get stuck up on this. So I would just say...
Well, so here's what we could do.
Yeah.
In the same way that we, you know, said, ask proposers to give us a 5, 7, and 10 year, we could ask them to give us prices for mandatory and non-exclusive service.
That works.
Yeah.
That works. You okay with that?
Yeah, for the residential areas of the county.
Yes, residential areas.
Joe, would there be the availability, what Commissioner Carmona said, is if there is a period of time where they're continuously not picking up garbage at curbside, that there's some refund provided, that they're required to refund the money?
Okay, so the answer is yes. There's a way to do that. The challenge is in how you decide how to do that and what it is. In other words, let's just say that your service costs $40 a month, and you get 4 pickups during the month. So they miss 1 week. That's $10. Everybody would say, well, that's $10 worth of service I didn't get. Well, actually, when they come the next week, they're still going to have to get all the garbage that was there from the previous week, unless the person hauled it away themselves. So there's that issue. Then there's also the issue of, so in terms of solid waste service, to just do it real simply, there's like 2 components in it. There's the service component, and there's the disposal component. The service component is what it costs you to get the truck to the house and pick it up and take it somewhere. The disposal component is what it costs you to put it in the landfill or at the recycling center or wherever you take the payload. So those are the 2 big components. There are subcomponents, of course, but those are the 2 big ones. So in terms of giving rate consideration, it's like when we're going to talk about vacation holds here in a minute, we need to discuss what does that mean? How will we define that in the RFP, a vacation hold? If somebody's going to be gone for a month and their bill is $40 a month, does that mean they don't pay $40? Or do they just not pay the disposal component because they're not disposing of anything? That's the issue of what we have to decide on vacation holds. And it also would be the issue at hand in relationship to how much credit do you give somebody when you don't provide service during the week.
But my only concern, and maybe we can discuss this later as part of your presentation anyway, is some sort of penalty for non-performance.
Oh, yeah. Well, we certainly will have liquidated damages.
Yeah.
We'll have liquidated damages in there, and those are things that the county will have the authority in the contract to levy on a contractor that's not performing.
Yeah, because what we're running into now is if they can't pick up service, trash for whatever reason, they provide roll-offs for free. My concern is that at some point the roll-offs become an answer to just not even making an attempt. You know, and for 3 months, everybody's got to drop their trash off. I've got a busted back. I cannot pick up. You know, I'd have to weed out my trash one by one, throw it in the back of a car, take it down there, and then huck it up over the dumpster. And my community's got a lot of older folks, and I know that that's not an option. You know, a full bear can full of trash.
That's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Okay, well, how about this? I understand the issues. I will try to address them in the documents.
Perfect.
So when we come back in April, there will be some decisions to be made based on what we produce.
That works for me. You good with that?
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm totally open to describing the pain points and letting them prescribe the solution, and then we can see how much we like their proposal.
Yeah.
Right. I don't feel like we need to necessarily say you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do this. I think
are the issues.
Describe what the issues are and see what they do with it.
That works for me.
Okay. So I do want to come back to this. And do we want to decide this now, or do we want to leave it open for the RFP approval meeting? We talked about mandatory service at the industrial complex, industrial center. Are we also talking mandatory service just for commercial in the county in general, or just there?
My understanding, stop me if I'm wrong, Austin or Clay, so it'd be mandatory service at the park, and then it would be subscription-based service for the residential component and the businesses on C Street. Is that right?
I think that's what
you want. Yeah, basically just kind of a geographic separation as opposed to a classification of service separation.
Okay, so we're only carving out the center. The rest of the county would be subscription. And so that would be not just here, but Dayton and any place else where there's a commercial business, that would be subscription.
Yeah, and in reality, there isn't.
Huh?
Sorry.
Just noting Lockwood is in their own franchise agreement separately.
Yeah, well, we're not, I mean, we won't even address Lockwood because they're not component to this process.
Right. So, yeah, it's pretty much the only place where there's a little confusion is Virginia City, where there's some commercial and the residential. Everything else is residential only.
Okay.
And I think we've heard from the merchants here that sometimes the restrictions of standardized service don't work well for them, and some of them have made provisions for disposing of their garbage otherwise.
Okay, well, that is another question as to do with what is it that we're asking proposers to propose? Are we asking them to provide automated service with carts with wheels? Are we asking them to provide service by just whatever means, whatever the customer puts out, they're obligated to collect?
I could be wrong, but it doesn't seem like there's much efficiency to automation in our communities, just given the topography. And I mean, I could be wrong, but they're not. There are not a lot of places in town where it's standardized enough. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
So
they use a picker in the Highlands.
Really?
Yeah. That's probably one of the problems. But.
And Joe, I know you and I talked about right now, we allow the Rubbermaid 32-gallon can, and its workers' comp is becoming a major part of the budget of waste management and other companies like them. So you were talking about potentially they do have a 32-gallon cart. It's a very small one for a lot of people in Virginia City. Probably produce one bag of garbage a week. I mean, they're not really producers. They don't want that 96-gallon cart. So there's the 32-gallon cart, there's a 64-gallon cart, and then there's bigger than the 90. 2-gallon or 96-gallon cart. If that's an option, would you both be comfortable with requiring, if you're going to have subscription, you got to get one of the carts?
But, you got to get a, yeah. I could provide my own, but it's got to be like, you know, waste management friendly.
Standardized.
It's got to have wheels and got to have a bar so it can be picked
okay,
up.
Okay, so that's okay, but I will just, and I think that's some of what's done now, right? Some people provide their own now.
Or even a metal can. There's some of that going on now.
So, you know, in this litigious world that we live in,
yeah.
A lot of haulers, independents and the big publicly owned companies, do not want to touch somebody else's equipment.
Right.
You know, they don't want to be liable for damage on it or whatever. And all the, like when a garbage hauler purchases carts and include them in the cost of service, they're buying carts that meet the specifications for the robotic arm that's on the truck and is you know, guaranteed for 10 years or whatever from the manufacturer against, you know, breaking the wheels, breaking the lid, splitting the body of the container. And if that happens, they get it replaced free of charge, you know, within whatever the warranty time is. They don't have that on other people's containers. And other folks would have to essentially, and I don't know what kind of an administrative burden this would cause, but other folks would have to give some kind of release of liability for them to service a container that's not one they provide.
So one of the issues we may have now is, and I'm speaking just for the Highlands, so if we subscribe to Waste Management Service, we then need to pay them for the rental of a cart. So in addition to my trash service, I have to pay them every month.
Oh, that's the way it is now?
That's the way it is now.
Okay.
So that's maybe why they allow other people's trash cans.
Okay.
If it was worked into where you get service, you get a free cart.
Yeah.
That may change the way people do things.
Yeah. Well, that's the way I would recommend that it be
right.
done. Is that what we're asking people to propose is cart service.
Because I think right
and
now
that's where they use a side loader or a rear right. loader or a front loader. There's all kinds of mechanisms to be able to flip those carts,
mm-hmm.
regardless of the collection methodology that the hauler uses.
Right.
And so I would recommend that as kind of the default service that everybody on the residential side to be required to quote prices for 32-gallon, 64-gallon, and 96-gallon service in a contractor-provided cart. And they include the cost of that cart in the cost of service.
That's probably a little more palatable, at least for...
Yeah, well, I mean, if we're not making it... if we're not making it mandatory, then people can opt in or opt out.
Right.
And the standardization will provide a benefit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Are all your eyes glazing over out there? Is everybody really enamored with the trash subject?
Just so that you know how painful this is for us. It hurts. We're doing it for you.
Yeah. It's a tremendous amount of detail. It's the reason that, you know, it used to be these contracts were 5 pages long. Now they're 100 pages long. And it's because of all the laws and the service requirements and everything else that now component to this top municipal service. It's become complicated.
Well, I think we got your answers so far, right?
What's that?
We got your answers covered
oh, yeah,
so far.
Oh, yeah. Here's what's going to happen. I have guidance from you on these issues, and I'll take that guidance, get it, put it into the document. We'll send it back for you guys to review. We'll discuss it and make some further decisions in April.
Perfect.
Okay, so let's move on to the rate adjustment and fee methodology. As I've mentioned several times, included in the service agreement will be a limitation on price adjustment that will be imposed on whoever the successful bidder is. As I said, we enter into this via a competitive bidding process, and we manage it through a contractually defined process that's established in the competitive process. And so there's another reason that it's not a monopoly, is that, you know, monopolies have ultimate control and can set their own prices willy-nilly. In this case, we establish the prices through competition, and they're managed based on specific indices or price components that become part of the contract. And what we've done here, or one of the things that the current approach, is that the annual adjustment is just whatever the CPI, the consumer price index, indicates is the inflation percentage. You know, and for the past decade, it's been like between 0.5% and 2% annually, as what we've seen. And now, of course, right now, what we're seeing is, you know, rapidly escalating. I've seen some rate adjustments in the 15 to 20% in the last year as a result of increasing prices. I mean, a major component of providing this service is fuel, of course. And, you know, 5 years ago, these haulers were paying $3, $3.50 a gallon for diesel fuel, and now they're not. Okay, so my recommendation would be that we would still tie it to an index. And right now, it's 100% of CPI. In some cases, we have found that CPI over-projects what local inflationary forces have brought to bear on the cost of services, so we limit it to a percentage of CPI, like 80% of CPI or 90. There's also a component now in CPI, in the Consumer Price Index that's issued by the Department of Commerce, that takes into consideration the special components that are involved in providing waste management service. So we could look at that specific CPI index. But that we would recommend that you go with an index, and it'd be CPI, or it could be the producer's price index. There's some discussion about which index you want to use. CPI is as good as any. But as I said, you may want to use a percentage of CPI, you may want to use that one that's specific to solid waste.
Joe, what are your thoughts on, right now it's the garbage industrial CPI. Is that appropriate, or should it be?
Yeah, no, that's it.
It's higher than most others.
It is, but it's because of the inflationary impacts on fuel, on tires, on steel, because, you know, on the cost of carts, all of that stuff. Those components of service have escalated at a rate higher than the average CPI rate.
Any thoughts on this?
I'm fine with it, whatever the recommendation is.
Okay. I'd go with the same.
Okay. All right. Other rate components, yard and drive-in service. And I, you know, Austin, if I may have missed it in your other contract, but I think you mentioned that right now there's a distance fee that's maybe in the service contract that has to do with if the hauler has to go further than 100 feet or 200 feet or whatever it is, there's a escalator. That's in the current.